Hello everyone and welcome to Daily Newspaper Analysis, which is brought to you by LawSeco. So today we have two articles for our discussion. The first one is from The Hindu, which is titled as E-Shram Needs Some Hard Work to Get Going. So this basically talks about the recently launched E-Shram portal, which aims to have a complete database of the unorganized or the informal sector workers in the country. So what are the lacuna in this regard have been discussed in this article. And the second article is from the Indian Express, which is titled as What's Good About a Bad Bank? So first of all, we'll understand what a bad bank is. They've also discussed it previously, but it'll be done again in today's discussion. And how can the bad bank really help the commercial banks to fight the problem of the non-performing assets shall be discussed here. This newspaper analysis is presented by me. My name is Sheva Khan. I'm a law graduate and I had completed my law degree from Uttaranchal University. I've also been a national debater and a public speaker, and here at LawSeco, I'm working as the current affairs expert and the manager for current affairs vertical. You can connect with me on Twitter as well as LinkedIn. The links to both my IDs are there in the description box below. So recently, the Ministry of Labour and Employment launched the E-Shram portal, that is the national database of unorganized workers, which will be seeded with Aadhaar on 26 August 2021. So the estimate number of registrations is somewhere between 389 to 400 million. Yes, that is very, very huge, because more than 90% of the labour in India is considered to be of the informal or the unorganized sector. So in this, an E-Shram card shall be issued to them. So let's understand what are the major or the prominent issues that are attached with this portal. First of all, it is a lengthy process. So owing to the huge number of workers, as we just discussed, would be approximately 398 to 400 million who need to apply, and the ongoing havoc of the novel coronavirus, the process will be time consuming. Also, there is no gestation period has been announced so far. So yes, of course, the process will be lengthy. It is definitely going to happen. And specifically keeping in mind the situations, the shutting down of offices, the transportation issues and everything that is going on around at the current moment. So due to that, the process might be turn out to be very lengthy and lethargic. Second is the data security. Now the government is definitely incentivizing the small employers to register their workers, although it is already compulsory. So here, no eligibility has been mentioned or defined either, and the mega size database might also be abused, giving rise to security concerns, as we know that even till now, if we collect the data, so we still do not have the Personal Data Protection Act in the country. It is still a bill, and that is why there is a good chance that this data might be misused either by the employers, it could be hacked by someone else, or whatever be the case may be. Third is the issue of identity. The identity of an unorganized worker subject to frequent change owing to change in the trade frequently, and that is why, like for example, a worker must be working in some particular area in a given particular at a given particular time and might be working for something else at the other time. So the government also plans to include the gig workers into the fold of unorganized sector, although they cannot be legally called as workers. Like for example, here there was another issue when we talked about the labor codes in India as well, that the gig workers, like for example the delivery people with that are attached to Zomato and stuff like that, so they were not given a proper identification. But under this, it though definitely is a good thing that the government is planning to include these gig workers into the fold of unorganized sector itself, but definitely it is not going to be an easy challenge. Next are the impediments, like the central government and the state governments need to work together. Now this will be an issue when the exchange of dialogues are rather poor. So definitely in the recent times also, the kind of federalism we are witnessing between the center and the states of India, so definitely there is a clear lack of dialogues, and this is going to be another problem when it comes to the coordination and collaboration in the terms of the labor as well. Also, the corruption concerns cannot be ruled out, because there could be a good chance wherein many people, they're taking the benefits in the name of the workers that they might not even really have. So that is why there are other chances of corruption as well. And that is why we need to make sure that the E-Shram portal, although yes, definitely it's a very good initiative that has been taken by the government, but we need to make sure that it is free from at least these kinds of problems that we have already pointed out through this discussion. So let's discuss the second article, which talks about all about bad banks. So we previously also discussed about the bad banks and what is the problem of the non-performing assets. So I hope you remember. I'll just brush up very quickly. So what happens is, let's say that there is a bank, let's say ABC. Now this bank gave a huge loan to another person, and now this person is not able to return the bank the loan. So earlier, when this loan was issued, this was considered to be as an asset for the bank. Why? Because let's say if the loan was given for 100 rupees, so definitely this was the principal amount, but the bank was going to take some interest on the 100 rupees, and let's say it was going to get 120 rupees in return. So definitely it was going to earn from this particular loan. So in the initial situation, this bank loan, which was given of 100 rupees, was considered to be as an asset by the bank. But just consider the situation that now, leave apart 120 rupees or the total of, you know, 20 rupees extra that you had to be given as an interest, the person to whom this bank loan was issued is not even able to pay the principal amount of 100 rupees. So do you think that this loan, which was earlier an asset for the bank, will remain to be an asset? Definitely not. So now this kind of loan becomes a non-performing asset. So this asset is no more performing the function of being an asset. See, this example we have taken of a very, 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 very small amount, that is of rupees 100, but these non-performing assets are in crores and crores. So that is why what happens is that this reduces the situation, reduces the capacity of the banks to perform or function in the most efficient manner. And that is why this idea of the bad bank was introduced, wherein a special bank would be made, it will be actually instituted just for the purpose of taking the responsibility of these NPAs and to bring back whatever is possible. So like, for example, we have a bad bank now. What will it do? That it will take the responsibility of this ABC bank to recover these 100 rupees till the extent wherever or whichever it is possible. So let's say even though 100 or 110 are not possible, maybe 90, 95 or just the principal amount might be possible to be recovered. So these are the bad banks. Alright, so let's consider about them in a greater detail. So bad banks are formed by National Asset Reconstruction Company Limited and the Indian Debt Resolution Company Limited. These banks will buy the stressed assets from the banks and then try to sell them in the market. So the government has issued rupees 30,600 crores as guarantee for the same. So let's understand that how it will actually help. The NARCL, which was the National Asset Reconstruction Company Limited, will pay 15% of the amount in cash and the rest in security receipts when being handed over the stressed asset. Post the sale of these stressed assets by the IDRCL, the 85% will be paid back to the bank. So this is how the bad bank will also earn, and this is how some amount will also be reimbursed to the actual banks. A bad bank will rid a commercial bank from all its toxic assets, which were damping its profits till now. And from the taxpayers' perspectives, it is a bit muddled, because here the capacity of the bank can be brought to a question. The actual loaning capacity can also be brought to a question. So the permanent solution to this is improving the lending operations of the commercial banks, so that while they are lending, they are more cautious that they are lending in such a manner that they have better chances of recovering the loan that they are giving. The bad bank also has to ensure a guarantee. So the same, if crashed, would only be bailed out by the taxpayers' money. So that is why this has to be, you know, seen very carefully. Now let's understand that why actually did we need a bad bank. So banks advance loans to the businesses over time, as this is how the banks earn money, right? Definitely. So these loans sometimes turn into the NPAs or the non-performing assets, just the way I'd explained in the very beginning of this discussion. So post 2008, the amount of the NPA in the PSB was rising sharply. So I hope you all remember the Punjab and Sindh Bank and that issue, which had all gone. So this was with an alarming rise since 2016. So that is why creating a bad bank would relieve the PSBs from the NPAs and allow them to, the public sector banks basically, the public sector banks from the NPAs and allow them to resume businesses. So in the meanwhile, the bad banks will encash these stressed assets and will return back 85% of what we have just discussed. So this was all for the day. Thank you so much for joining in. And if you want to catch the podcast discussion of this analysis, you can join our daily newspaper analysis podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, as well as Anchor Podcast. Also, if you wish to download the PDF of today's slides, you can join our Telegram channel. The link is there in the description box, or you can scan this QR code you can see on your screens. Also, do not forget to follow us on our official Instagram channels for Judiciary, CLAT, LawSeco, UGC Net, as well as LawSeco Law Finance, if you're preparing for any of these exams. Thank you so much.